Everyone carries a productive uniqueness within themselves, says Nietzsche, as the core of their being. And when they become aware of this uniqueness, a strange radiance appears around them, that of the extraordinary. The Call of the Unconscious. The philosophical psychological audio podcast with Martin Wehrmann. Develop trust in your own perception, avoid pitfalls, and gain inner clarity. Those who feel comfortable in the safe haven of their opinions, assumptions, and illusions have no reason to seek anything else in life. Why should they? After all, they aren't suffering. This podcast is not for those people, unless they are curious about what might eventually come their way. However, if you are someone who currently feels something unknown and rather unwelcome gnawing at you, something manifesting as bad moods, excessive appetite, or overwhelming fatigue, if you find yourself cautiously exploring on a vague search and shrinking back anxiously after each step, if you are at such a fog-shrouded threshold, this philosophical psychological podcast series might offer some useful insights. And with that, welcome to our first podcast, The Call of the Unconscious. Today, we will discuss the crucial moments in life when we find ourselves at a crossroads, a point where our current life no longer satisfies us and we feel that a change is brewing deep within us. We will explore how to recognize these transitions and what significance they hold for our personal development. The German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche offered valuable insights to those who find themselves at such vulnerable points in their lives. In a way, they were his target audience, as he often considered himself one of them. Drawing on Nietzsche's philosophy, we will explore in this podcast how we can approach the individual reality of our lives. But first, how can you tell if you are at such a Nietzschean transition, which is invariably tied to a sense of suffering? Two things seem inseparably connected to this. The first is drowning out the silence, and the second is being consumed by work. Well, both have somehow become ingrained over the years, and there may have been good reasons for both that currently seem unavoidable to you. Because silence must be endured, and it may be that silence brings forth something unexpected, something long feared. The same applies to inactivity. What remains of me then? Who am I if I achieve nothing and cannot lose myself in a task? I think few people like to hear this, but both social distractions and excessive work are ways of escaping from oneself, and they serve a particular purpose. Whoever has much to do, writes Nietzsche, retains his general views and positions almost unchanged. Likewise, anyone who works in the service of an idea, he will never re-examine the idea itself. He no longer has time for that. Indeed, it is against his interest to even consider it debatable. So, what could better shield us from perceiving our own selves than busyness in the external world and working on some supposedly useful idea? From a depth psychological perspective, both function as a carefully constructed bulwark against the feared onslaught of the unconscious. They keep those doubts at bay that could question the familiar far more than is tolerable at the moment. The awakening to oneself, which is discussed here, is not something that happens suddenly one fine morning. I believe that awakening to oneself describes a non-linear process that spans countless stages and can take decades. Yet, there are clear milestones along this path. One could call them markers that are initially reached sleepwalking and unconsciously. They may occasionally drive you to despair on the conscious side as they run counter to the wishes of the ego, but quietly they mark progress on the path to oneself. One such milestone is curiously reached when you notice that you lack praise and recognition. As long as you are being praised, writes Nietzsche, believe that you are not yet on your own path, but on that of another. It sounds crazy, but the very absence of recognition can mean that you have long since left the track of what was. Friends and colleagues in your comparison group may continue to indulge in some currently fashionable pessimism. For you, this reflects the futility of the modern world. The big question then is, what does all this activity still matter to me? And so, something new takes the place of its former importance, and the same terms gradually fill with unexpectedly new content. The world thus becomes my world, and existence becomes my existence, and suddenly an unexpected meaning resonates within it. An almost inevitable accompaniment on the path of individuation, which may build up unnoticed over many years until it one day breaks through to conscious and painful awareness, is that one's persona becomes increasingly burdensome. The persona is the social role one plays. We all have a more or less pronounced persona, a social mask. Without it, our society as a whole could not function. Over time, we all adopt a generally pleasing persona to meet the expectations and norms of our surroundings, whether at work, in the family, or in other social roles. But the persona always remains a construct. While many people are visibly intertwined with their persona, especially if it flatters them and promises a certain reputation, but the more conscious we become, the looser this mask fits on our face. Nietzsche sums this up very aptly. "Deep thinking people," he says, "feel like a comedian when interacting with others because they always have to first feign a surface to be understood. Feigning a surface, could it be better expressed? To those we serve, whether they are representatives of an idea, the state, or simply our inner spirits behind our beliefs and expectations, truth is never a concern, as Nietzsche implies. I think this is a very central observation. What matters to them is the useful part of a truth, and more precisely, anything useful, whether it be truth, half-truth, or error. Truth itself has no value for society or its inner psychological representatives. It is a tradable commodity on the level of a good or service for the masses. The person who does not want to belong to the masses only needs to stop being comfortable with themselves, writes Nietzsche. They should follow their conscience, which calls out, "Be yourself. You are not all that you now do, think, desire." In Nietzsche's philosophy, the real person holds a much higher value than the desirable person of any ideal. Today, as in the 19th century during Nietzsche's lifetime, it is about escaping the collective directives of a single kind of human. That means resisting those in power whose unhealthy excess lies precisely in imposing their conditions as law over all humanity. "Everyone carries a productive uniqueness within themselves," says Nietzsche, "as the core of their being. And when they become aware of this uniqueness, a strange radiance appears around them, that of the extraordinary." And with that, we have reached the end of our episode of The Call of the Unconscious. I hope you found some insights and reflections that help you better understand and question your own perception and inner reality. And be forewarned, in the next episode we will dive deep into a relentless analysis of our selective perception patterns. We will find out how we can recognize and overcome the filters that distort our view of the world. I believe this reflection is an indispensable step on the path to inner clarity and an authentic life. Thank you for listening. I wish you much courage and curiosity on your personal journey of self-discovery. Remember, awakening to oneself is a process that takes time, but both the great philosophers and the pioneers of psychology show us that the journey is well worth it. Stay open to the quiet voices of the unconscious. Until next time, on The Call of the Unconscious. Take care and see you soon.